الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأصفياء وأصحابه الأتقياء. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلون إن كنتم مؤمنين. وقال عز وجل في مقال آخر: ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين. وقال عز وجل في مقال آخر: ومن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، صدق رسوله النبي الامي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. استغفر الله العظيم. Young friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We, the beloved Ummah of the beloved Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in going through a time of trial and tribulation, we are passing through a very critical phase. Looking at the current situation of the Muslim Ummah, we find a group of Muslims who unfortunately begin to doubt the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the promises of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and this group is asking questions such as, where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We are on the We are on truth in the beginning of the life of Islam. وَمَنْ يَنْتَهِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. We are the followers of the only religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam. Why is it that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not coming? Could it not be that the religion we are following is not the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Could it be that the promises made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam were false promises? This is one extreme. The other extreme, we are Muslims. We are the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have made various promises. So therefore, we don't need to do anything. The gifts of Allah will fall in its place on its time. Why should we worry about the circumstances? Imam Mahdi is to appear, Isa alayhi salam is to descend, and eventually the Muslims will overpower the batil and evil forces. It's definitely going to happen. So why should we worry? Why should we do something to eliminate the current situation of the Muslim Ummah? This is the other extreme. And Islam is a religion of moderation. غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the straight path, the path of moderation. And we say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, save us from that path, which is the path of those upon whom your anger has arrived. And save us from the path of those who are led astray. The commentators of the Quran have stated that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned two extremes in these two groups. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. In everything we do, we have to adopt the path of moderation. That is Sirat-e Mustaqim. And in order to adopt the path of moderation, the Sirat-e Mustaqim, the straight path, in any situation we have to turn to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول. If you are confused, if there is a dispute, if you cannot understand the present situation, then you must turn to Allah and the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. Friends, we believe in the total qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a shadow of doubt. Anyone who changes his faith according to the situation that he is facing is not a believer. Thank you.
انما المؤمنون الذين امنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. Only those people will be categorized as believers. الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وكتب إيمان الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. That if they believe in everything that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and which was conveyed to the Ummah by His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and thereafter summa lam yartabu, they do not doubt any object, any aqidah, any faith, any news that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed to them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right in the initial stages of Islam, he makes a declaration, Ya ayyuhan nas, qulu la ilaha illallah tuflihu. Oh, people say La ilaha illallah and you will become successful. So Bilal Nabi Allah said La ilaha illallah. Khabbab Rabi Allah said La ilaha illallah. Yasir Rabi Allah said La ilaha illallah. Ammar Rabi Allah said La ilaha illallah. Sumayya Rabi Allah said La ilaha illallah. And after saying La ilaha illallah, they could not see the apparent success that a human may wish to observe. Bilal Rabi Allah is being tortured, Yasir Rabi Allah is being tortured, Ammar Rabi Allah is being tortured. Hazrat Khabbab Rabi Allah reports to Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه in his many lives that I was made to lie on fire. And the blood and the water and the pus that used to come out of my body used to quench the fire. Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, a man of that courage, who when migrating from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Munawwara did not migrate silently or secretly. He came to the Haram Sharif and he said, Man arada an yuyattima waladahu aw yurmila zawjatahu أو تسكله أمه لم يتبعني وراء هذا الوادي. One who wishes to make his wife a widow, the one who wishes to make his child an orphan, and one who wishes that his mother should cry over his dead body, follow me because I am going to Medina Munawwara. A man of this courage could not see the back of Hazrat Khabbab رضي الله تعالى عنه. He has to turn his face away. Hazrat Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه was being punished, tortured in the heat of Makkah Mukarrama, scorching heat. He is dragged on that beating surface. A heavy stone is placed on his chest. And you are proclaiming Ahad, 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 Ahad. Allah is only one. Allah is only one. Allah is only one. Allah is only one. Ammar رضي الله تعالى عنه going through the same torture. Yasir رضي الله تعالى عنه, same torture. So much so that Hazrat Sumayya رضي الله تعالى عنه has to give away her life. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making the promise, did not hide in his home. He used to face the situation. Rahmatul lil alameen. The one who was sent as a mercy for all the universe. He was a mercy for his friends and he was a mercy for his own. देखकर अखलाक को और आपके अल्ताफ को गैर भी कहते हैं तुम वो रहमतुल लिलआलमीन. After observing the lofty characters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even the non-Muslims were forced to say that you are rahmatul lilalamin. How difficult it must have been for him to see Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu in that condition. To see Ammar ibn Yasir, to see Yasir, to see Sumayya, to see Khabbab radiallahu anhu ajma'in in that condition, forgive the rahmatul lilalamin. But a believer who has trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not run away from the problem. He challenges the problem. He stands in front of the problem. He tries to find solution to the problem. He faces the problem. He used to stand in front of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in front of Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he used to console them. He used to say words which would strengthen their heart, which would make them even more steadfast on the path of sabr. He used to give them the opportunity to cool their eyes by looking at him. He did not think to himself, I am secure, I am safe. He would go out into the street. He would go to Bilal and he would say to Bilal, oh Bilal, have patience. The time is going to come when the whole world will bow down at the feet of the Muslims. The whole Hijaz will have to surrender. These very people will be slain. They will be humiliated in this world and the hereafter. Did Bilal Rabi Allah Sallallahu for a single second doubt the promise of Allah Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Are we going through the same torture? Are we going through the same pain? Or shall I say, are we experiencing anything at all? At the pitiful condition of our brothers in Palestine, in India, in Afghanistan, wherever they may be. There is no pain. There is no suffering. We are experiencing nothing but comfort. So why should we begin to doubt the promises of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sumayya radiallahu ta'ala anha, not once did they say, oh Messenger of Allah, where is tuflihu? We said la ilaha illallah, you said tuflihu. Where is falah? Where is success? We were more better off before we had recited the kalima than we are now. You were in more comfort. There was no suffering. After reciting the kalima, we don't see any falah. We don't see any success. All we see is suffering. No complaint whatsoever. Why? Because they have full faith, full trust in what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying, that if he has said, La ilaha illallah, say La ilaha illallah, you will become successful. Definitely, you will become successful sooner or later in this world and the hereafter. Inshallah, we will also become successful in this world and the hereafter. Because our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-Islamu ya'lu wa la yu'la alayhi. Al-Islamu ya'lu wa la yu'la. Islam has come onto this universe to overpower every system. And Islam will never be overpowered. These are temporary tests. لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Even in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, trials, tribulations were faced by the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the Muslims in these types of situations? So that the Muslims can understand who is the munafiq and who is the believer. It is only in these circumstances that one can recognize the Muslim, the believer. Because the believer, we are saying, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانٌ وَتَسْلِيمًا. The mu'min here, when faced with difficulty, the mu'min will not say, we are Muslims, where is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The mu'min will say, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Allah and His promise has made this promise to us that when you accept Iman, you will have to go through trials. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And these negative circumstances will increase their Iman. It does not decrease the Iman, it increases the Iman. All my circumstances were in my favor. I was wealthy. I had so many people around me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when you say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, when you declare your relationship with me, you will have to go through trials. That is La mean, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah has made this promise. So, when this believer, when he accepts Islam, and after accepting Islam, when his circumstances begin to change, he thinks, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah and His Rasul had promised, and Allah and His Rasul had said the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And these dire circumstances increase their Iman. And the munafiq, and the munafiq, مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Where is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the promise of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? They made no promise but to deceive us. So those people who find comfort in their heart and who feel even in these dire circumstances that definitely the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come, they should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they are proper believers. Their hearts are clean from nifaq. And alhamdulillah, it is our Imam. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. This system will overpower all the systems. That is where this deen has come. When the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was terrorized, he was punished, he was tortured, stones were thrown at him, and he began bleeding. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha came running to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she started cleaning him, she started dressing him, and she said, oh my father, why do you propagate this message to those people who do not want to listen to you? Come, go home with me. I will sit down, my sister will sit down, my mother will sit down. We will listen to you. Talk to us, convey this message to us. Why do you want to convey this message to these people who do not want to listen to you? Because she could not understand what her father was doing. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, my daughter, a time is going to come when every house in this, on this universe will echo with the kalima of your father. A time will come when every house on this universe will echo with the kalima of your father. It is our yaqeen, it is our iman, it is part of our belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard this religion until the day of Qiyamah. He will safeguard the followers of this deen until the day of Qiyamah. Inna nahna nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. The world of kufr, with all their efforts, will not be able to cause any harm to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every this process goes to the fire, goes to Jannah. Every Muslim that dies in this process goes to Jannah. That is why the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmu'in, when struck with an arrow, you still very fruit over Abdul Ka'ba. That is success. When a person leaves this world with Iman, when a person is honored with martyrdom, with Shahadat, and when he is granted entry into Jannah, that is his success. So they used to say, fruit over Abdul Ka'ba. Our methodology of Jaleen, success and loss, is not in accordance with the Sharia, friends. If we are in a life of comfort, life of luxury, life of apparent honor and dignity, but we go from this world without the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not successful, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. And if we go from this world without any success, any apparent success, with total humiliation, and our body is mutilated to pieces, but if we go with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are successful in this world and the hereafter. This is how we need to gain the success. There are so many Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi wa Sallam, dozens, who did not see the glory of Islam. But they were all successful. Why? Because not even for a single second did they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our aqeedah, our faith, our iman should not be so shaky. That if we are faced with circumstances, we begin to doubt the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. 950 years approximately, he is calling his ummah towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many people accepted Islam? Approximately 80. So 10 people in every 100 years. Did he lose hope? Did he question the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we find in a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I was shown all the ummahs before me, and including my ummah. Now it could be in a dream or it could be in Miraj, according to the two opinions of the Muhaddithin. He said that I saw a Nabi with only two followers. And I saw a Nabi with only one follower. And further he says, I saw a Nabi without any followers. A Nabi comes onto this earth, he propagates the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he calls his people towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not a single person accepts Islam, but not even for a single second does he feel that I am a loser and where is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our success and our loss depends upon how much are we following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are fulfilling the demand of the time, demand from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are successful. And if we are not fulfilling the demand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are unsuccessful. So this is the first point we have to remember, friends, that inshallah the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. نصر من الله وفتح كريم. The help will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the victory is very near. وبشر المؤمنين. Give glad tidings to the believer. أَلَا نصر الله قريب. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very near. And we are the only community on the surface of this earth for whom every situation is a blessing. We are the only community on the surface of this earth for whom every situation is a blessing. If we are healthy, it is a blessing. And if we are sick, it is a blessing. If we are wealthy, it is a blessing. And if we become poor, it is a blessing. If we fill our stomach, it is a blessing. If we stay hungry, it is a blessing. If we live, it is a blessing. If we are killed, it is a blessing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us honor, it is a blessing. If we are humiliated, it is a blessing. Every circumstance is a blessing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. The condition of the mu'min is a wonderful one. Why? is nothing but goodness. إِذَا سَرَّتْهُ إِذَا مَدَّتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَقَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If goodness reaches him, happiness reaches him, good circumstance reaches him, then he says, اللهم لك الحمد ولك الشكر. Through the door of shukr he will enter Jannah. وَإِذَا مَدَّتْهُ سَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَقَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If adversity reaches him, anxiety reaches him, sickness reaches him, then he will be patient and he will say, oh Allah, I am happy in the condition you are keeping me in. You are my creator. You are Hakim. You are full of wisdom. You are Hakim. You are the ruler. You have created me. You are at liberty to do anything with me. I am happy. Grant me the tawfiq to remain steadfast on this sabr. This person will enter Jannah through the door of sabr.
Subhanallah.
Only for the mu'min. Every condition is nothing but goodness. So why should we worry about it? So let us strengthen our iman, our yaqeen. Let us read the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullah Ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Let us study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we are able to understand that even they were suffering, and they were suffering more than the Muslims are suffering today. And no resources whatsoever. They were also faced with the superpowers of the time. But they did not lose heart. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ عِنْدَ الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ أَنَّهَا لَكُمْ وَتَوَدُّونَ أَنَّ غَيْرَ ذَاتِ الشَّوْكَةِ تَكُونُ لَكُمْ. In the battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam reaches Badr with 313 men only, with the intention of capturing the trading caravan led by Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had not until then accepted Islam, and which consisted of only 80-90 people. So 313 were enough for 80-90 people. It so happened that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought out the followers of Kufr, Abu Jahl and Walid, Utba, Mughira, all of them came out. They were 1,000 in number. The other group is 80 or 90 in number. And in between the Sahaba Ridwanullah Ta'ala is given only 330. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this situation as a neighbor for the Muslims. He says that if you had wanted to fight the disbeliever, you would never have agreed at all. وَلَوْ تَوَعَدْتُمْ لَخْتَلَتْتُمْ فِي الْمِعَادِ وَلَكُمْ لِيَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا كَانَ مَفْعُولًا. If you had ever requested the kuffar to come out in the open for a fight, for a battle, they would never have come out. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes plans according to His will. On one side 1,000, on the other side 313. And the other group consists of 80 to 90 people. And the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not have enough ammunition, only a handful of swords, only a few spears. And to this extent that Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali karramallahu wajhahu narrate a hadith that when he left Makkah Mukarramah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to make groups of three, sharing one animal only. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was our partner. Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, mentioned, oh Messenger of Allah, it does not befit either of us to be riding and you walking. So we both of us give our turn to you and we will walk all the way to Badr. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, Lattuma ma antuma aqwa minni. You are physically not more stronger than me.
Allah.
We are equal. I am human, you are a human. If I will suffer, you will also suffer. Ma antuma bi aqwa minni. Both of you physically are not stronger than me. And as far as the ajr and reward is concerned, I am as needy as you are.
Allah.
I am as needy as you are. Therefore, we will go according to the system that I have said. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaches the battle of Badr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this verse, وَإِذْ يَعِدُكُمُ اللَّهُ إِحْدَى الطَّائِفَتَيْنِ متفقين ان هذا كون في جيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم the choice between the two groups on one side 80 to 90 people on the other side 1000 people and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say no messenger of Allah if you go behind the 80 or 90 success is yours and if you battle against the 1000 success is yours and they are only 313 when رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم makes mashwara with the sahaba رضوان الله تعالى عليه مجمعين what do they say they say if Allah has made a promise then we should go for the 1000 Allah has made a promise then we should go for the 1000 because his promise is always coming so yaqeen faith that success lies in relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some reason temporarily he will face defeat like it happened in the battle of Uhud in the battle of Badr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them victory in the battle of Uhud they were faced with defeat apparent defeat but that did not lose their morale no what happened after the battle of Uhud after the defeat when the sahaba rizwanullah ta'ala alayhim ajma'in returned to Madina Munawwara imagine friends for a while think about it Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu and his body is mutilated to the extent that his uncle could not recognize him his nose is cut his ears are cut his eyes is taken out his lips are cut His body is open, his liver is taken out, his kidneys are out, his heart is out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had so much love for his uncle. That when he met in Medina, he was crying and he said, Wa Allah. La bawati alam. Oh my uncle Hamza, oh my uncle Hamza. So much pain. The mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah, when they reached a certain distance, they consulted each other, the leaders, and they thought to themselves that we had the upper hand on the Muslims and we have made a very big mistake. We should have finished them off today. Why did we come back again? So they made a firm resolution to return again to Madina Munawwara to eliminate Islam for good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the intention of the kuffar. And what message does he bring? He brings this message that, O Messenger of Allah, you must leave immediately with your forces and only those sahaba can participate who participated in the battle of Uhud.
Allah.
That very group that faced defeat a few minutes ago, the morale of the kuffar must have been so high that they are planning to return again. Only those people can participate who participated in the battle of Uhud. Why? Because a group of munafiqeen returned from halfway before the battle of Uhud and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want them to participate.
Wow.
Open the books of Sira. You will find that those sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jumayin who were wounded immediately stood up at the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they left Madina Munawwara to face the kuffar and the mushrikeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the fear of the Muslims into the hearts of the kuffar. And they decided to return to Makkah Mukarramah. But while they returned, they met somebody on the way who was going to Madina Munawwara. A non-Muslim, and they said to him that when you go to Madina Munawwara, they are not aware of the situation, when you go to Madina Munawwara, you must tell the Mu'mineen and the Muslims that the Kuffar are preparing a very large army against you, because their morale are already down, so you must go and tell them. Put this fear into their heart. The Muslims come out of Madina Munawwara, they are on the route towards Makkah Mukarramah. The kuffar are already fleeing after Uhud, and this person meets the Muslims and he says to the Muslims that a large group is waiting for you. They are ready to attack Madina Munawwara. Protect yourself. Go back, do something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تعالى في ذا الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم. These are the Sahaba. Their quality is that when they are told إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم, a very large force is ready for you and they are about to attack Medina Munawwara any moment. فاخشوهم, so fear them. فزادهم إيمانا. This news increases their iman. This news increases their iman. And what do they say? They do not say, yes, we must think twice, we must review our plan. They do not go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, what is this instruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We have already gone through a defeat a few moments ago and now we are faced with this large force. They say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَلَيْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for us. He is our guardian. This is because the yaqeen, the belief was that only that can happen in this universe that he wishes. Without his will, without his support, without his power, nothing can happen in this universe. So this is the first concern. So we have to have yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have belief in all the promises made by Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reign the whole world. A time is going to come when this world will be full of peace, full of tranquility, and it will be an example of Jannah. When each and every person living on this universe, according to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will enter the fold of Islam. Everybody will become prosperous, everybody will become wealthy, everybody will be healthy, everybody will have love for each other. There will be no hatred for each other. That time is going to come, inshallah. These are times of sorrow. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam had to go through trials. All the Sulaha had to go through trials. What does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Udhidu fillahi ma'lam yudha ahadun qabri. I have been tortured in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one else has been tortured. To the extent that no one else has been tortured. And he said, أَشَدُ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَا ثُمَّ الْأَمْسَلْ فَالْأَمْسَلْ. The greatest trials come upon the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Thereafter upon those people who are nearest to them in their lifestyle, in their amal, in their methodology. Those nearest to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam have to go through trials. No. Look at the lives of the Sahaba. Look at the lives of our pious predecessors. Look at the lives of the Aimma. Look at the lives of the Fuqaha. Look at the lives of our contemporary ulama. Temporary. Eventually, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. This temporary thing is very, very dangerous for a common believer. If he slips, he has slipped into the fire of Jahannam. And if he remains steadfast, he will enter the door of Jahannam. So this is the first point. We should not lose hope in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the promises of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. It is our belief, and inshallah, things will happen according to our belief. Because it is not a self-made belief, it is a belief conveyed to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second extreme, who are of the opinion that because the consequence will be in our favor, so we don't have to do anything. Why should we worry? You know, Mahdi is going to come. And some people are very anxiously waiting for him to appear in the year 2004. If Imam Mahdi comes at a time when we have lost our iman, what benefit is he to us? And if Imam Mahdi doesn't come and we are steadfast on deen and iman, what harm is it of his not coming? Our future will not be decided according to the appearance of Imam Mahdi. Our future, our result, our end result in Jannah or Jahannam will be according to my amal and your amal. a companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he questioned, "Mata sa'atu ya Rasulullah?" "O Messenger of Allah, when is the day of Qiyamah?" What should have been the answer? The answer should have been that I don't know. Only Allah knows. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "You are asking me about the day of Qiyamah? Ma adattalaha. What preparations have you made for it? What preparations have you made for it?" This was not the answer. The answer was, "I am not aware of the time of Qiyamah." But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ma adattalaha. What preparations have you made for it?" The reference is being made to this point that do not worry about when Qiyamah is going to take place and when Imam Mahdi is going to come and when Isa alayhi salam is going to appear. You make preparations for that time. Make preparations for your death. Make preparations for Qadr. Make preparations for Jannat and Jahannam. Make preparations for the day of Qiyamah for Hisab. If we sit back and say Imam Mahdi is going to come and Imam Isa alayhi salatu wassalam are going to come and everything will be solved, by that time if we lose our faith, if we lose our Iman, how many of us know whether we will remain alive until the appearance of Imam Mahdi or not? How many of us know whether we will remain alive until the coming of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam? And the time of the appearance of Hazrat Imam Mahdi and Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam will be full of fitna. There will be only two categories, open kafir and open mu'min. Open kafir, open mu'min. Which category will be for you if that time was to come? Why are we anxiously waiting for that time? We will be questioned for every second that we are spending in this life. Every second that we are spending. If we are spending our life according to taqwa, then we are not in need of the help of Isa alayhi salam or Imam Mahdi. They will come on their time, they will do the work that they will be sent for, they will accomplish their task. They will accomplish their task, we have to accomplish our task. And our task is to fulfill all the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and live a life of taqwa. What we have to do now at this precise moment is look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask, what is my responsibility in these dire circumstances? How can I help the situation? Our first responsibility is to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by repenting and making a firm tawbah that, "Oh Allah, I will not commit any sin from today." That is our first responsibility. If we want to see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want to see solution to our problem, if we want to see the circumstances change in our favor, then first thing we have to do is to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are two steps we have to take. Step number one, we check our life and analyze our life. And after analyzing our life, we make istighfar, tawbah, with full regret and with a firm resolution that from now on I will not live a life of sin. And if a sin is committed, I will repent immediately. My muamalat will be according to Sharia, transactions, dealing. My akhlaq, moral character will be according to Sharia. My muasharat, social life will be according to Sharia. My ibadat, devotion will be according to Sharia. My aqaid, faith, belief will be according to Sharia. And if I make an error anywhere, I will repent immediately. That is step number one. And after taking this step, remaining firm on this tawbah and adopting the way of taqwa until we breathe our last. That is our first responsibility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam makes a very big promise of these two steps. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man lazim al-istighfar, ja'ala Allah min kulli dhikin makhraja." Ja'ala Allah min kulli dhikin makhraja. One who holds fast to istighfar, asking forgiveness, making tawbah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open a way from every problem. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمِّنْ فَرَجَا Allah will remove every anxiety. What a zakaru min haythu la yahtasib, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all his needs. And promise for taqwa, who is yattaqillah wa yaj'al lahu makhraja. One who adopts the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the exit for him from every problem. Wa yarzuqhu min haythu la yahtasib, Allah will grant him all his needs. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ وَنْ وَلِلَئِذَا اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَلَى اللَّهِ بِنَفْرُهُ. So we don't just sit back, we don't become complacent that the help of Allah is definitely going to come. If the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes when we are disobeying Him, that help is not any benefit to us. Because we will depart from this world while He is displeased with us. For as long as He is unhappy with us, no power on this universe can save us from humiliation in this world, not in the hereafter. So it's the part. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come upon those people who remain firm on taqwa, and whenever they commit a mistake, they make istighfar. These are two points, but the conclusion is one. We have to remain steadfast on taqwa, and if a sin is committed, then return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. And another thing that we need to do is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua. Dua, ad-dua wa silahu al-mu'min. Dua is the weapon of a believer. Ad-dua yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Dua removes those difficulties which have already arrived. Ad-dua stops those difficulties which are going to come. Nowadays, the Muslim is not aware of how powerful this weapon is. The Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam, when they are overpowered by their people, what do? They use this weapon of dua. In the Battle of Badr, إِسْتَسْتَمِيْتُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When you are making dua, you and the companions, Bukhari Sharif, we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam marked yadayhi, he was stretching his hands out and with total dedication making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although the promise was made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all night he was making dua. Allahumma intahdik hadhihi al-isabatu la sabat fil ardi abada. Oh Allah, if these a few handful sahaba that I have brought are destroyed tomorrow, then not a single person will worship you on this universe. They are so precious. Oh Allah, grant them fatah. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala was saying that I was guarding the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I could not see that the trouble that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going through to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. And I was thinking to myself that why is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making so much dua? Although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made a firm promise, but he was the greatest of the worshippers. So he was always turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his name. And just before dawn, he said, "Oh Abu Bakr, do you not see Hazrat Jibreel descending with his forces? Do you not see Hazrat Jibreel descending with his forces? Fizaye Badr paida kar, farishte teri nusrat ko, utar sakte hain gardon mein, qatar andar qatar bhi." If we create the environment of the Badr, and what was the environment of the Badr? Yaqeen was there, faith was there, trust was there, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there, relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was strong, dua was there, and total dedication was there, and each person was prepared to give every type of sacrifice. If we create this fiza and this environment of Badr today as well, then Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam will descend with his forces today as well. آج بھی ہو جو ابراہیم سا ایمان پیدا آج کر سکتی ہے اللہ کی گلستہ پیدا. اللہ is still the same. He was always the most powerful and he will always remain the most powerful. It is we who have changed. If we adopt the ways of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa jamein, then inshallah the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you. So dua. Look at the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam. وَنُوحًا إِذْ نَادَى مِنْ قَبْلُ فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam made dua. رَبِّ أَنِّي مَغْلُوبٌ فَانْتَصِرْ. We accepted his dua. وأيوب إذ نادى ربه أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين فاستجبنا له. أيوب في دعاءه ويستجيب الدعاء. وذن نون إذ ذهب مغاضبا فظن أن لن نقدر عليه فنادى في الظلمات أن لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين فاستجبنا له ويستجيب الدعاء. وزكريا إذ نادى ربه رب لا تذرني فردا وأنت خير الوارثين فاستجبنا له ويستجب الدعاء. Everybody turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. We also need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna Allah hayyun kareemun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of modesty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous. Inna Allah yadda'i idha rafa'a abdahu idha rafa'a al-abdu yadayhi ilayhi. When the servant lifts his hand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes shy of ayyurudda sifran in turning him away empty handed. Allah is very shy. He will definitely give him something. So we have to make lots of dua. Dua for ourselves, dua for our families, dua for our future generations, dua for our parents, dua for our locality, dua for the world Muslim Ummah, and dua for all the non-Muslim religions. Because they are also the slaves and servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not only call the Muslims towards the straight path, but also the non-Muslims. We should have feeling for Muslims and non-Muslims. We should try our utmost to make sure that every Muslim becomes the follower of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100%. Ya ayyuhal ladheena aamanu udkhulu fi sirri kaffa. And the remaining non-Muslims also benefit from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they enter the fold of Islam so that they may also find peace in this world and the year after. If we are able to follow these a few points mentioned as a conclusion of this talk on having hope and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we will see the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to follow his command, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eliminate the problems of the Muslim Ummah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to believe our deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant even the non-Muslims to enter the fold of Islam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill this universe with peace, with tranquility, with contentment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create all the resources that are required for this.